husbands and wives have a solemn responsibility to love and care for each other and for their children. Children are an heritage of the Lord. Parents have a sacred duty to rear their children in love and righteousness.
We welcome you to Gospel Solutions for Families on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm Matthew O. Richardson, Second Counselor in the Sunday School General Presidency, and today I'm joined with several guests, and I'm excited about this. Joining me today is Russell Osgathorpe, who is the Sunday School General President. We're glad you're here, President.
Thanks.
It's good to have you here.
Great to be here.
I don't know if I should say this, and this is probably a little bit personal, but I actually work a lot with President Osgathorpe, and we actually drive to a lot of our meetings together. And so actually, I am tickled. I am thrilled that we're going to be able to talk about this because I know you so well, and I'm excited to learn from you.
It's great to be here.
We are also joined today with Karen Ashton, who is a general board member for the Young Women. It's
that
a
is
pleasure
correct.
To have you here.
Oh, I am thrilled to be here. Thank you very much.
So it's good to have your perspective on this. Also, as a mother, you're a mother of 11 children. Is that right?
That is true. And 51 grandchildren and counting.
51 grandchildren.
51 grandchildren.
And one on the way. And we'll hear more about that perhaps because we are also joined today with Rebecca Westfall, who is actually Rebecca Ashton Westfall. You are Sister Ashton's daughter, correct?
Yes, I'm her youngest.
And you have three children with one on the way.
Yeah, we're excited. Looking forward to it.
Well, I'm grateful that all of you are here today. Today's program will be on the foundational principles of marriage. Now, when we say that as our foundation, it's like, well, what do you mean by that? There are so many principles dealing with healthy and also functional marriages. But if we were to ask our Father in heaven what type of principles he would give for a good foundation in a marriage, we actually could know a little bit about that by going to the scriptures. For example, in Genesis chapter 2, in verse 24, we get some advice that our Father in heaven is giving to Adam and Eve, the first marriage, so to speak. And in that, he talks about, for this purpose, he outlines the elements of what are going to take place. And he says, for this purpose shall a man leave his mother and his father and cleave to his spouse, and they twain shall become one flesh. So if we look at these basic principles of leaving, cleaving, and becoming one, we see a great pattern for all of us to improve in marriages. And so I think that those things work together. If we appropriately leave, it helps us so that we can appropriately cleave, and then we can appropriately become one. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
And I think sometimes when we talk to individuals in their marriages, they are wondering how they can become more one together. And when they talk, you start to think, well, maybe the problem is you haven't left appropriately and it's prohibiting or keeping you from becoming one because you haven't left appropriately or you're not cleaving well enough. And so I love the way our Father in heaven uses these great principles and they build upon each other, work with each other, almost threads of a fabric.
It's a challenge to let a child go because you've spent your whole life trying to build a relationship there. And to love them and teach them and be with them every single day. And to let them leave, I think it's a little bit of a challenge, but it is so thrilling to know that they are about to embark on their own wonderful family experience. There is nothing as sweet and beautiful as the family relationship and the opportunity that the Lord has given each of us to do that is just remarkable. But it takes some real effort to do that, I think, on the part of everyone.
Oh, sure.
To slip out of a really – I think it's actually a little bit more difficult when you have a really wonderful family. I think it's tough to begin that process and say goodbye to mom and dad and move out on your own. And yet you have to do it.
Well, see, now I like what you're saying, Karen. This is a really good point is it is difficult. It is a little bit scary. It's challenging and it does require effort on everyone's part to do this. But you said something that I think was so nice there in there. But the outcome and the benefits are so worth it that it really overcomes any of the fear or it should, hopefully.
Exactly.
It's a point where it's, wow, this seems a little unnatural to be encouraging this leaving to go on. As a matter of fact, I think of the gospel plan. If we look at this in bigger terms, we left from our premortal estate being with a loving Father in heaven. And yet somewhere along the line, in part of his plan, it was you need to leave this state and go to something that is going to provide a better experience. It wasn't that he didn't love us. As a matter of fact, I think it was because he loved us so much that nurturing was to take place. And that almost sets the framework for what's taking place, the same type of a transition for a greater outcome.
I was thinking how interesting it is. I hadn't thought about this before until you reminded us of the scripture in Genesis, but Adam and Eve were not leaving earthly parents to cleave.
Yeah.
Right? It was the Lord himself giving them this advice, you need to leave and cleave. He was not saying, don't contact me.
That's right.
Don't, you know, I want you to stop praying. No, he didn't say that. He said, you need to become one. You need to be independently together now and form a family.
And obviously, perhaps that transition wouldn't have taken place as easily if they would have stayed in that presence. To learn
right.
independence, that
right.
was a necessary element.
Right.
You know, and you bring up something that I think we should lay on the table right from the very beginning is leaving is not abandonment. It's not like, don't call me anymore. Oh, I'm sorry, we can't pray anymore because we are no longer in the garden. You know, that was not the case. There was still a connection taking place there, encouraged connection, still the association relationships, but there was a changing of the context of that structure.
I was thinking how as a parent, your whole effort as a parent is to prepare your children to be able to do this, really, to be able to be married and be on their own and be successful and be strong and be devoted. And yet, as you say, it's still challenging when that time comes to see them go and have this parting. But that's why, in a sense, we are all in this together. We're all working together as a family to help this happen in the right way.
Actually, I think it's when you know that you have been successful in your parenting, when you see them be independent, be able to step out. And any parent who's watched a child do this knows that if you've done your job the right way, you're probably not going to see them for quite a while, because they're going to be working out all the mechanics of what a marriage really is. And then something really miraculous happens when they begin to form a family by having children of their own. They bring them back again for you to the people who will appreciate and adore them better than anybody in the world. They bring them back to their parents so that they can be with them and enjoy them. But there is that moment in time where they need that space to go away and be together.
That's true. And it's the need. There is a need for that because it facilitates the greater opportunity.
Like what she said about, you know, you've done your job well. I know it was easier for me to leave and have a good relationship with my husband because I saw such a good relationship in my parents, that it was a happy thing. It was something that I was really looking forward to. This is the way they communicate. This is the way they work things out. They're not running to other people. This can be a really wonderful relationship. So it wasn't scary to leave. It wasn't scary to be on my own because I knew that it was the right kind of relationship to have.
That's good. And I think of the gospel setting. Isn't this what the gospel does for us? Is it often gets us into situations where it seems difficult. It seems challenging. How will I ever pull this off? But our Father in heaven, he always allows us to understand the promised blessings that will come if we are obedient to his ways. Or here's what I'm asking you to do. Here's what will take place. And as you were speaking, I couldn't help but think that's the model our Father in heaven uses in the gospel is, I'm going to show you what can happen, and I'm going to ask you to do some difficult things, but you can trust me on this because it will come to pass. And I think that's a great principle.
And as a parent, tying in with what you said, there's nothing more rewarding or there's no greater blessing, I don't think, that can come to a parent than watching a child establish a family. I mean, watching that happen in front of you, watching your own child become independently strong and a leader in a family.
What an act of faith.
Yeah. Oh, it is
on the
faith.
Part of two people to step out of what, in both situations, what they have known and understood and go forward together with the help of the Lord, trusting him to teach them everything they need to know with a wonderful background from parents who love them or maybe even a background. I mean, there are situations where a child comes out of a situation that's been difficult for them. And now they know what they don't want to have happen. They want to leave and do something different in their life. And in order to do that, they have to trust what the Lord has told them. They trust him.
and trust that the Lord will guide and direct them. As parents, that's the way we were parenting, is trusting the Heavenly Father would guide and direct us. And it's the same principle renewed and regenerated with each new generation.
One of the most exciting things that I can have happen to me as a parent after I watch one of my children get married is if I go to them and say, we're going to have a big family activity on this evening, or we're going to do this and this. Are you interested? Would you like to help us with that? And they say, let me talk to Paul, or let me talk to David, or let me talk to Annie and see how they feel about it, and we'll get back to you. When they do that to me, I think, yay.
That's going right. You know, Karen, that's an important part, because some parents might say, oh, you are not listening to the authority here. What do you mean you have to talk to somebody? I have given you the advice or told you what to do. But in truth, that's one of the greater compliments, is saying, hey, let me go and talk about it. The way you're saying is we shouldn't be threatened by that. As a matter of fact, we should be encouraged by that.
This whole thing of leaving means that now you make decisions as a couple.
Together.
Right.
Together. And before that, you made your decision on your own, pretty much. I mean, you were deciding as a young woman before you got married just how to do everything pretty much. But then you get married, and when your mom says, hey, how about this? You say, I need to talk to my husband. We need to counsel about this. Yeah.
It's really helpful, I think, to come together, because your schedules are so different, especially as you're first married, whether you're both in school or some's working. But to talk together and work out those things is just vital. And to know that they care, you know, oh, you know, I was planning on doing something with you tonight. I would rather just do that. It's just nice.
There's another element here that's really important. And Karen, you brought this up, and it's subtle the way you brought it up, but it's very critical. You said, we would like to do something as a family. Would you like to come? That's very different than our family is doing this and you need to show up. We're all going to go and travel down to this location and do this, and
we'll
so let it be written.
And we'll feel very offended if you choose not to come.
That's right. And sometimes they don't even, you know, parents won't even say those words, Russ, you're right, but they imply it, or the overtones are there. It comes out
sometimes. See, well, I mean, we had other plans that we have to be this other place, and are we going to make the whole family feel bad if we can't, you know? And this kind of argues for these kinds of moments. The family needs to talk.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, all together. I mean, we get online. And so we just have a Google listserv, and everybody gets online and says, okay, what, is this going to work? Is this date going to work? And then we can kind of work it out together, because if somebody just unilaterally decides to have an event, and then it does make people feel bad who can't come, and it makes the one who is giving the invitation feel bad.
Feel bad.
Right. So it's kind of like the lose-lose.
Could you imagine our Father in Heaven using these principles we're talking about in nurturing us, is making pronouncements, you will do this, and you're going to be – and I'm going to feel really
bad.
Really bad if you do not
show
up at this time. And no, please do not talk to your spouse about this. And Donna, I want you to just do what I'm saying. It's contrary to the way our Father models this wonderful experience of parenting, is where he is inviting, constantly inviting. It's not like he steps out of our lives, but he's constantly inviting and allow us to be able to come of our accord as appropriate, knowing that the greater relationship. Now, Karen, you used a word here in yours of saying we leave to move forward.
That's exactly right.
And so it's not the end. It's actually the process of creating. It's a genesis of sorts. So, Russ, you mentioned that one of the great benefits of leaving is independence. People learn to be independent. What are some of the other blessings that come when couples are allowed to leave appropriately that will bless that couple and the family in general? We have independence. What are some of the other things that come to mind that will bless us?
They have to become stronger. They become stronger together. In other words, if you look at the atonement is to help us be redeemed from sin, but it's also to help us be stronger. And when you leave this person, this parent that has been a real strength to you, now you've somehow got to build and grow that strength yourself, to be a parent yourself.
Okay.
I have to say, there is something very powerful about this image that the listeners can't see, because we've got this daughter here who is an adult daughter, and we've got this mother here. And the image of, I have to kind of look back and say, I wonder what it was like when she was 5 and when she was 6 and when she was 7. Things were different, you know, because then you had to depend so much on your mother.
On my mother, yeah.
So much.
And that now, was appropriate at that time.
It was absolutely necessary. And even when you were a teenager, your mother did not say, well, you're a teenager now, so now you can be independent. I'm not going to get in your life anymore. No. I'm sure what your mother did was stay very close and let you
be very involved.
Yeah, very involved.
It was wonderful.
And, yeah. But now here you are with three children. Is that it? Three children and one on the way. You've established yourself. This is one of the blessings, I think, of this leaving, because now you become independently strong with your husband.
Can I ask on this one? Because when you're bringing this up, is do you feel less part of your mother and father's life over the process of getting married? Is all of a sudden, okay, I'm not a part of them. Do you have still a connection there? What's your thought on that?
I still have a really strong connection with my parents, which I'm grateful for. But when it comes to the way we decide to do things, or my husband and I, we talk about things and decide on our own, and then I'll come back and say, oh, just so you know, this is what we're planning on doing. And he was so sweet when we were first married, and I had my first little boy, Austin, and he was tricky. It's always tricky when you have your first child. So you're running around saying, Mom, what do I do about this? And this is happening, and sisters, what do I do about this? And one night we were talking, and he said so gently, you know, I can help you with this. The two of us can work this out. And it was so nice to just stop all of that. I still ask for advice here and there.
Sure.
Because having a mom who's had 11 kids is a great resource. But also having somebody that you can pray with at night, and the stewardship is there, was and still is such a strength for me.
No, I just asked you that question. It was a loaded question, to be sure. And I was confident you would answer that way. Is some people in their minds, they think that what takes place is when we leave appropriately, then we cannot still maintain a close and intimate relationship with our siblings, with our parents, with those around about us. And that is not necessarily true. It's not either or. There is a shifting and a changing of the
That's
way
correct.
That we interact, but we still have that deep-seated love, respect, seeking advice, etc. It's not like that changes forevermore. And some people long for that relationship, and they're afraid that if they leave, that we leave everything and all of our memories behind. That is not true.
Yeah.
The interaction changes.
When you're helping raise your children, you are involved. You're managing. You're helping manage what's going on. And when they leave, you're a resource. Mm. You're not part of the managing anymore. Mm-hmm. You really are a resource to them. And you wouldn't wear
out.
You couldn't do it anymore.
Oh, good.
The problem is, if you don't allow this, it's not only physical intimacy that you develop, but it's emotional and spiritual intimacy that are developed by a couple after they marry and when they leave home. And it's a beautiful, sacred thing. And it cannot happen with three people in the room.
But this relationship that you have with your daughter now is also this kind of sacred, beautiful thing as
well. It is.
Absolutely.
It is. We have an extremely strong, very friendly family. Many of us live within just a few streets of each other. In fact, we have four families that live in the same ward. So if you want to talk about how to maintain this wonderful relationship, but giving the right, it is the right of the young couple to go and establish their own intimate connections there.
And to empower them, to encourage them to have that opportunity. There's ways you can facilitate that as a parent and as a couple without abandoning. Now, you bring something else up that I think is important at least to talk about, because everyone's in different circumstances. You mentioned that you have children, did you say within the same ward?
Within
the same ward. So proximity, sometimes you have proximity that brings people together, but yet there's still the need for appropriately leaving. Now, here's the reason I bring this up is I had an opportunity in one of my assignments to be in Russia. And in some cases, the circumstances is it's prohibitive to be able to get your own apartment because they cannot possibly afford it. So some of the housing situations, you'll have married children living in the homes of parents, etc., not by choice, but there is no other way. Here's the point is, do they still need to leave appropriately, even though there might be a better way to do this, obviously, but their circumstances. And so you have children live in your ward. Do they still need to leave appropriately? The answer obviously is yes, but we need to be creative. And I love this. I learned this from some of the couples when I would talk to them when I was in Russia of even though they were living with their parents, they were still finding ways to leave appropriately to allow their relationship and families to develop, even though they had the same address. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. We had a son just recently living in our basement. the stairs to the basement were the end of the physical connection to us. And when he married his wife, she became the most important person in his life. Not me anymore. I am not the greatest relationship. When Rebecca left and married her absolutely fabulous husband, he became the most important person in her life. And I want that to happen. And I want to be on the sidelines cheering them on, giving them every encouragement. And when I watch this beautiful thing begin to happen, to me, it's the sweetest thing in the world.
That's great. Rebecca?
I still remember being in Young Women's and thinking, you're taught over and over about an eternal family. Eternal family, eternal family. And so I saw as a young woman, okay, my eternal family is my brothers, my sisters, and my parents. But wait, some of my brothers and sisters are married. They have their own family. And then I started getting kind of confused. How does this all work? Okay, my eternal family is going to be me and my husband and my kids.
Right.
You know, formulating this all out in my mind. And then I started thinking, wait a minute, but my kids are going to get married. All of these, you know, processes are going on in my mind. And I realized then just how important the husband-wife relationship is.
Sure.
Because that is the most binding. Everybody else will have somebody else.
And while we may not live in the same celestial house in the celestial kingdom as we imagine, as there's
right.
mom and dad and all my siblings, or then here's my husband and my wife and our children, hopefully we will have that primal relationship in the celestial kingdom, and all of those people will be in this celestial neighborhood close by, and we have that perpetuation. So it's almost the same type of thing. I think really what we're trying to do is find a little bit of the celestial kingdom here on earth and model that principle.
When I think about the Genesis piece, I think sometimes we talk about the cleave and leave. But just before that, Adam says something really beautiful. He says, now this person is flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone. He recognizes that he's only really half of something greater.
Right.
And I think that is... In the end, it really is about this wonderful husband-wife relationship, because you go from a family where you had brothers and sisters, then you have your marriage and you have your children, and then in the end, it's the two of you again.
When I was serving as a stake president of a married stake, a young adult married stake, I had a couple with some problems in their marriage, and I asked them to talk to me about how things were going. And the wife said, well... Every Saturday, my husband has to spend the entire day with his dad and his brothers, because they've always spent Saturdays together in those teenage years. And then now that they're married, they're doing that again. So she says, I don't have him every Saturday. And I actually took an occasion to talk to him individually and say, actually, this needs to change now. You know, I mean, it is great to get together with your dad and your brothers, but you're married.
Right.
You are married now. You have – this relationship takes precedence over everything. This is the relationship that you have to focus on. And if the only free time you have, which is Saturday, is never spent with your wife, this is a problem. So he was having a problem leaving.
Right.
And the family was probably having difficulty letting him leave. And so they were saying, come on, you need to come and be with us. Every Saturday. This is a problem.
This is actually a great segue to a larger scope, which really falls under this rubric of – it's not just leaving mother and father necessarily. And so here when you were talking, Russ, I couldn't help but think of he was taking his discretionary time and putting it in this basket. It might not be with your former family, but it might be with a hobby. It might
sure.
be with former friends.
Sure.
It might be with – this might sound odd, but I find some couples when they enter into marriage, they have a difficult time leaving singleness.
Right.
And you mentioned that about making
yeah.
your own decisions, and they want to be married, but they still want to be single in the way that
yeah.
they act, but
or
they need
be,
to leave appropriately.
Might be with no, might be with a video game.
That's true.
Which is a very serious problem. And so here you have a person who has made covenants to have this eternal relationship, but can't get rid of these past kinds of behaviors.
And as a result, what it prohibits them from cleaving, being able to join together in
right.
an appropriate relationship so that they may become one. And it's interesting to me, this sounds so simple and plain, as do all gospel principles, I might add, is when we talk about that. But somehow in real life, they become muddy. And it's like, no, wait a second. You're having difficulties within your relationship. And they don't think, well, maybe it's because I'm still connected to previous things that are not allowing me to cleave and to become one. I haven't left appropriately in that situation.
I think relationships take time. They take amazing amounts of time and interaction. And if you have decided that your time will be spent with a group of old boyfriends that you had a great time with, you've lost the opportunity to strengthen the relationship with your new wife.
That's right.
Or your new husband. And it is a dance. It really is a dance at the beginning to decide, okay, these are my good friends. I still need to keep relationships with them, but this is the paramount relationship. I need to find those things that we enjoy doing together and do them.
That's right.
With my spouse.
I remember when we got married, it's a ways back, but I still remember. And we noticed some of our friends doing this. They would kind of get together in gender segregated groups. In other words, the wives would get together to do this and the husbands to do this. And because we weren't doing that. And we had friends, that obviously, before that, but we talked about it one night, and I said, I don't really have an interest to do that anymore. I don't want to go, quote, be with the boys. And she didn't want to go be with the girls, whatever. We were married, and it was new, it was different, and it was a different life. And of course, we kept to be, you know, friendly with these former friends, but we didn't feel a need to segregate ourselves off. We wanted to get together with other couples. We wanted to be with other couples who
were enjoying their relationships.
Their relationship.
Right. Well, yeah. And that's an important aspect of this is the context, or at least the relationships are still there. You're still friends with people and you still have contact, and you should.
And you should. And it's healthy to have outside interests. It makes you an interesting individual to be with.
But the way we interact, it does change.
Exactly.
And some
it does.
People can't allow that. I remember coming home from my mission to my best friends. I mean, we were practically raised together, and visiting him, and he got married before I got home from my mission. I went to visit him, and it was honestly the weirdest experience. I remember talking to him thinking, who is this guy? Something's happened. He's weird. And I walked out of that experience thinking, oh, wow, this is odd. He's not the same person I once knew. I didn't really understand that until I got married. And then I realized that actually he was doing it right. We were still friends and we still shared that. But he was living in a different world. He constructed our relationships in a different way because he was married. So we still had friends. But I understood this. And it was actually a great learning lesson that relationships, the context will change, but the relationship is still deeply meaningful. Well, sadly, we are out of time for this segment. But we will talk about this in another episode of Leaving Appropriately so that we might cleave to our spouse and ultimately become one. You have been listening to Gospel Solutions for the Families on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.